Today, I'm wanting to start a new series called Encounter. And we're going to be looking at this whole area of encounter and experiencing the presence of God and what that looks like and how we can have this encounter. Now, going back a number of years, back on the 1st of April 2012, I was in Senegal, West Africa. And up to that point, I'd spent my life preparing to be a missionary. My heart up to that point was all about Africa and sharing Jesus in Africa. And I'd all my degree, I'd then done Bible college, all of that was to get to Africa. I'd then gone to France, I'd learned French and suffered through that. Then I then worked in France to ground the French. I then moved out to Africa and to Senegal. And I was there. I was connecting with people. I had two homes. Wow, you think that's impressive. I had a home in the town and I had a home in the country. And my home in the country was 5-star. I could see all 5 stars through the thatch of the mud hut. And I even helped with the digging of my own toilet. And it was fantastic. And I was there for 2 years, using French to start learning the Fulani language. And I was connecting with people. I was seeing some people being healed. I was seeing all sorts of stuff happening. And then things were coming to at the end of the project that I was involved in, and I was seeking God. What's next, God? Me thinking, right, it's going to now be maybe moving into Guinea, or it could be moving into the Gambia, or developing things further where I was. I just didn't know. And I was exploring, and I laid it all down before God, and it happened to be the 1st of April, April Fool's Day. And this is where God has a real laugh. He's got a great sense of humor. And I was there on my face before God saying, God, you can have it all. What do you want next? And I just felt God was saying, really? You're willing to lay it all down? You're willing? And it was one of those times where very rarely I've had it, but I actually had the audible voice of God, and I just felt God very clearly and heard him say to me, are you willing to lay it all down? Are you willing to leave Africa? Are you willing to leave the mission organization you're with? Are you willing to stop everything you are doing to move into the ministry I have for you? And I wept, because all my life up to that moment had been about that. And God had led me there, no doubt about it. But God was then saying, right, that's your training. Now is the real job. And I encountered God, and my life had a complete U-turn. Due to that moment of encounter of God, Waypoint Church is now here. And through Waypoint Church, many lives have been transformed by God. That wouldn't have happened if there hadn't have been that encounter with God. So today I'm wanting to go into this area of encounter of God, because it's life transforming, not just for us, but for the whole world potentially. And we're going to explore this not just in terms of our own lives and being transformed, but also practically what it looks like, how we can get there, but also look at how we can have those encounters daily. Because I don't believe it's just about the key big encounters with God. But God wants us to know him intimately. Where it isn't just about the big voice booming from heaven, but it's that gentle direction in the everyday life. Go and speak to that person. That person is in pain. Yeah, don't look at the outside. They look fine, like they've got it together. But I know where they're at in their heart. And I know there's pain there that you need to minister to. That person over there, they need an encounter with me. That person there, there's healing need to be brought. This is the life we need to be moving into, church, where it is that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, the daily momentary encounters with God, of waking up in the morning and saying, good morning, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me this morning? And then in the afternoon, what do you have for me this afternoon? And be excited that God has so much. Like it says in God's word that God has great things prepared in advance for us to do according to his will. Wow. Even before the foundation of the world, he has plans for each one of you. Do you believe that? And not just huge big plans, but the little plans in everyday life. But the question is, are we hearing? Are we sensing from God? Are we having those moments, those encounters of knowing, yeah, that's God's heart for the moment? Amen? Do you know that head knowledge and religion is not enough? There are so many people, and quite often ourselves, where it is head knowledge and religion rather than an encounter. Head knowledge and religion can condition us to behave in a certain way. You can tick the box, I'm a Christian, I do the right thing. But where's your heart? Because your heart will only change with an encounter with God. Just think about a child. I think about my own children sometimes. I can, through rules, regulations, and discipline, can condition them. But their heart can still be completely in rebellion. There needs to be an encounter with God to change the heart. A.W. Tozer puts it this way, genuine Christian experience must always include an encounter with God himself. My question to you today is, have you had that encounter? Have you had that encounter with eternal, everlasting God in your own personal walk or not? God isn't interested in the superficial. Our hearts can only be transformed by him. Do you know something? That's amazing, is that God is actually into taking the misfits, the messed up people like you and me, then encountering them and transforming them into an elite army. Do you know that? How many here feel sometimes like a misfit? Possibly, now and again. Do you know God doesn't want you to stay a misfit? He doesn't. He wants to transform you into an elite army to do battle, to face the challenges. He doesn't want you to keep going round and round as a misfit. That's your identity. No, your identity is as a son and daughter of the Most High God. That is your identity. If you've accepted him. And are we living in that? Or are we still living as, I'm not fitting in, I don't fit in. So we're going to have a look at some of the misfits that got changed by God. So if you've got your Bible or your phone, make sure it's not Facebook, but is actually a Bible on your phone, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And I love these stories. So 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 2. And I'm actually going to read this bit out of a paraphrase, the message. It's not a real translation, but, you know. Some people may argue with me, but it isn't. But I'm going to read from the message, because I think it's actually quite helpful for this, these couple of verses. So David got away and escaped to the cave of Adullam, when his brothers and others associated with his family heard where he was, they came down and joined him. Not only that, but all who were down on their luck came around him. Losers and vagrants and misfits of all sorts. David became their leader. They were about 400 in all. Yeah, wonderful. The losers, those down in their luck, the vagrants, the misfits. And even worse than that, his family. Got drawn to David in the cave of Adullam. People who were bankrupt, discontent, under pressure, stressed and in need. They had been mistreated by life and were bitter. Instead of being discouraged, God trusted God. David trusted God, and God saw who these men could become. And David invested in them, and David came from a place of worshiping God. David came from a place of sharing his heart of worship of God with these people, and these people encountered God in the cave of Adullam. And their lives were transformed dramatically. And God successfully turned them around from society's rogues and misfits into David's mighty men. David wrote a psalm whilst in the cave of Adullam, which shows his attitude towards his men. If you, in Psalm 142, verse 7, it says, "Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name." That's him talking about the prison of it. We've been in that cave, if you read through the rest of the psalm. "Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me." He calls these people that have been gathered to him as the righteous. Isn't that a bit strange? David calls the once misfits of society the righteous of God, who God has gathered around him. When we later read in 2 Samuel 23, 8 to 12, and we're going to be throwing some of these on the screen, and I'm going to paraphrase slightly about them, about some of these mighty men, and then start imagining some of their backstories as to what God has done in their lives. So we're going to start with a guy called Adino. And it's a different name on this one, but it is actually Adino. Where is it? Okay, it'll be there somewhere. So Adino possibly escaped from, or this guy's name is another name from possibly. I can't remember. Anyway, maybe got the name wrong, first one. This guy escaped potentially from piling debts. Nobody believed the figures would add up, maybe. And then he slew precisely 800, to be specific, with his spear, whom he killed in one encounter. So from an encounter with God, this guy changed from being a loser a misfit to killing 800 guys in one go. Then you have Eliezer, potentially a loser extraordinaire. Everything he got, he lost, maybe. Everything he turned his hand to possibly failed in the past. Now he stood with one sword in his hand. And it says that this, he fought and fought till that sword got frozen into his hand. You know, you can almost imagine now, he's there thinking, this one sword, everything I've had in the past, I've lost. I'm not going to let go of this one sword. It's my sword. You're not going to have it. And he keeps going. He's changed. And he's held on to that sword. And through an encounter with God, he believed that he would never again become weary and not let go of that sword. Shammah. Maybe Shammah had been a vagrant, homeless, beggar. Now he stood in a field of lentils. Wow. He stakes a claim on the field of lentils. You can imagine it, can't you? This guy who has lost everything, who, you know, maybe he owned land in the past and he lost that land. He now stands in a field of lentils and decides he's going to defend the field of lentils. And he will not let go of that territory. He fights and fights and fights. He will not let the enemy get a foothold on the territory that God has given him. And as we look at those three guys, I think there's things that we can think of in our lives. When we hit things, do we hold on to the sword of the Spirit, as in Ephesians 6, the Word of God? Do we let go too easy of the things that God has put into our hands, His Word, and start believing the lies of the enemy rather than God's truth? What about the ground that God's given us in our own lives? Do we allow the enemy to get a foothold? Do we retreat? Or do we hold firm? God transforms these guys. And quite often in the Old Testament, you see the literal. And then God wants to show us through that spiritual lessons that we can learn. God is into the business of transforming weak people into spiritual giants. He transformed a shepherd boy into a giant killer. David then coached and mentored previous malcontents and misfits of society into mighty men. When God brings difficult people like you and me into church, what is our response? Is it like David to say, these are the righteous that God is gathering? Or is to say, okay, they're sat there, where else can I sit instead? And do we avoid, or do we welcome? Do we speak life and see that everybody that God draws will be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, will reflect God, can be transformed by God? Likewise, think about the first disciples. Peter. Yeah. Uncuff. Probably foul-mouthed. Anybody been in a pub with a number of sailors? Language can get colourful, okay? I don't think the disciples were much different than that in terms of the fishermen, unless, you know, the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee were this elect, super-educated bunch. Or maybe not. So there were the fishermen with the disciples. Also, there were the tax collectors, the educated, money-grabbing traitors who served the Romans. How about the zealots? You had Simon the Zealot. Do you know what the zealots were? Trained political assassins. Okay, so you had an assassin as one of the disciples. Yeah, this is a great group of people. And then the other disciples, you had some of the ladies. Yeah, prostitutes. Yeah, a great group. The unclean, the sinners, even the demonized. Yet, they were transformed by encountering Jesus. And then when the Holy Spirit came and filled them at that place of Pentecost and they encountered him, they were transformed. And it was amazing. And it's interesting, if you look at Acts 4:13 to 14, there's the story of a man being healed by Peter and John, and there's a lame man. And this is what it says. When they, that's the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They were astonished that these unschooled, uncultured guys were now doing amazing works, were speaking to huge crowds. And the only thing they could see was these guys had been with Jesus. And they couldn't do much about it because they could see the man there who had been healed was standing there among them. They knew the guy. He had been sat at the gate beautiful for years, lame. Being with Jesus, encountering him, changes people. It brings transformation. David Garland, scholar, he says this, we can never encounter God and remain unchanged. Beholding this glory affects our transformation as we are changed into a veritable likeness of him, into a true likeness of him. Wow. My question to you is, have you seen that transformation in your own life? And if not, have you encountered God? Have you encountered God? Later again, we read in the letter to the Church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 28, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. So a little bit on the fixed side, maybe. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. If you are feeling weak, if you are feeling shame, if you are feeling as though you cannot do it, if you are feeling lowly, then I can speak to you now and say, God can change that. God can take you from where you're at and take you to a place where you can actually serve him and you can have a transformed life and live as a son or daughter of the Most High King with your head held high. Amen. No more shame, no more condemnation. No more being held down by addiction. No more being held down by past sin. God clothes you in righteousness. He sees you as the righteous. Amen. Guess what? You know that old thing? I don't know if people have been around my age. You know, that Jesus turns losers into winners. Get it right. That's going to go down, you know, shame. So where does this all start? It starts with us desiring it. If you don't desire it, guess what? It's not going to happen. And also us being humble. To actually believe that God can change us. An encounter starts with knowing that God is seeking those who seek him. Guess what? If you're not interested in God, it won't happen. God is seeking those who will surrender their lives, who will put him first, who will be obedient to him, who can be entrusted with his plans, who seek his glory, not their own, not the perfect, not the talented, but also not those who are taking pride in being a misfit. You know, we can easily take that pride in being a misfit. It becomes our identity. And God doesn't want you to have that identity. Matt Chappell puts it this way: God is not concerned about our ability. He's looking for our availability. Are you available to God today? Do you yearn for that encounter with the living God? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range through the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." Wow. God's looking for his people. He's searching for you. His eye is on you. The question is, are you going to respond? David was a nobody. He wasn't perfect, but his heart sought God's. Guess what, Jenny and myself, we're nothing special. We're simply servants seeking to encounter God, to hear his plans and to say yes, to be humble enough to allow him to be the author of our story. Who's been the author of your story up to now? Jesus asks us to open the door and provide a space for people to meet with him, to encounter him and to be transformed. That's what we did when we opened this church, to provide that space. In encountering God, we need to let other things in our lives that have no eternal significance die. We need to open our hands and say, "I am yours. Everything I have, everything I am, everything I long for, everything is yours." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he puts it this way: the cross is laid on every Christian. It begins with the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old man which is the result of his encounter with God. Wow. It's when you're willing to get on your face and say, "God, you can have it all," God will meet you in that place and encounter you. Sometimes that can take time. I remember one time I was seeking God and saying, God, I need to hear from you. And God felt distant. I got on my face and I said, "God, I'm not leaving this spot until I've met with you." Over 2 hours later, having been in a bit of a mess with God dealing with things in my heart and my life, or boundaries that have been, barriers I've been put up about different things, God met with me in that special place. How often is it easy to say, "Right, God, you've got 5 minutes. If I don't meet you and encounter you in 5 minutes, then you're not real," or "That's enough"? God wants us to work it through, to persist, because that's when God highlights barriers that we have erected, or things in our life that we have not let die, or things in our lives that we're holding on to that shouldn't be held on to, so that we can come in that place of surrender. Today I want to ask you, have you encountered the living God? Do you want to encounter him? What are you willing to give up, to let go of, to be able to encounter this living God? What? It could be pride. It could even be spiritual pride. It could be your own hopes and dreams, security, our past identity even. Have you let go of lordship of your own life? If you're feeling like one of those misfits that you've tried everything else, but it's become trying to overcome things through rules and conditioning rather than a real deep heart transformation, then today may be that day to say, I need to encounter you. I need you to bring that change to my heart because I've tried everything else. Do you feel your faith is insufficient maybe for the next step that God is calling you into? So today may be a day to say, I need a fresh encounter with God. I need to start seeing things from his perspective rather than my perspective to see that transformation. And this isn't just for our own sake, church. This is for the sake of the world. So that the world can encounter Jesus through us. Bill Johnson puts it like this: we owe the world an encounter with God. And guess what? That's going to happen through us. It's not going to happen through everybody else but you. God has plans for you to impact people's lives with his presence. Let's pray. So can we maybe get to our feet and let's maybe just open our hands before God just to receive what God has. And I just challenge you today, maybe just close your eyes and just think for yourself. What is the one thing from today's talk that God is challenging me personally about? Have I taken that step of that first encounter with God? Don't dismiss it. Maybe pride is getting in the way of taking that first step. Maybe conditioning is getting in the way, or religious spirit is getting in the way of taking that first step. Maybe today it is that it's been a while since you've encountered the presence of God. Or maybe it is that you have been struggling, that you are going in a cycle of not knowing who you are, whose you are, and that needs to change today for an encounter with God. Possibly today it could be that you know God is calling you to a greater thing. And you need to take that step of a fresh encounter. That you've been holding back. You've been holding back on God. And today is the day to take that step. So we just say, come Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God. Just move in our lives. Speak to us, Lord.